Good evening, brothers and sisters. For Sarah and I, has been a tremendous blessing to be among you. You have been at our church in a small group of a mission team, and you have blessed us as well when you've come with the focus of serving, the focus of reaching people for Christ. I've heard the most amazing sermons preached by teens that I've ever heard in my entire life. I told Joseph, who was singing in the choir, I think I need to give you the chance to preach in my position, because I was so blessed to have the teens from Brookside come down and with such a desire to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for us also to receive so many of your demonstration of love in so many different ways, the gifts, the service, the sacrificial manifestation of Christ to us, Sarah and I are just overwhelmed. We've never been at a church that has shown so much love to us, and we are thankful and grateful. Thank you so much for the opportunity to also sharing God's word. I'm looking forward to seeing some of you go down to the Dominican also in the future. It will be a blessing also to see you minister among us. And I would like to ask you to go with me to a book in the scriptures, the book of Psalms. I would like you to meditate with me in Psalms 96. I think this will probably be connected somehow to your theme of how we are called to exalt Jesus Christ, and how every time we focus on the gospel, we focus on missions, we are focusing on how we are called to exalt Him. So I would love for you and me to read verses 1 through 3 and call upon God's grace and upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be with us at this hour. So Psalms 96, verse 1 and 3 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples." Father, what a wonderful testimony of Your grace right here. What the gospel can do with sinners by redeeming us from our sin and deliver us so we can return to the original design of being worshipers, of being people who now get the chance to admire You and to be amazed at who You are and what You do for us, even though we have never deserved this. Lord, thank You for designing the church to be Your instrument, to let Your glory be known among the nations. And thank You for a church that has the heart to not only preach Christ here in Milwaukee, but also to be concerned for how the gospel is being delivered to the world. I pray, Lord, that You will bless this moment as we meditate in Your word, and our hearts will be drawn to You, and our hearts will be moved from loving this world and loving the empty idols that the devil has so eagerly set before us, so that we will love Jesus more than anything, and we'll love the gospel more than our lives, and we will desire to do everything we can to let Jesus be known and be exalted, not only here but throughout the world. So Lord, bless the preaching of Your word. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit, that not maybe me but You speaking to us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. We should all marvel when we behold the glorious manifestation of God's creation. Many times we ignored and disregard the message of what our eyes are able to see concerning the magnificent splendor of the works of God in the universe. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. God's glory is wonderfully displayed for all of us to be amazed. The universe, the galaxies, the planets, the stars, the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them. Creation is a permanent proclamation of the creative wisdom and power of our God that should move us to announce and to declare, God, you are amazingly glorious. There is no one like you. You are truly the most extraordinary and incredible designer, architect, and engineer. And of all of God's wonderful creations, I am personally amazed at how God designed the glory and light of the sun to be reflected on the moon, to shine its light during the night. And this is indeed remarkable, that God, in order for us not to be left pitch black in the dark at night, in his common grace to bless us, he has strategically designed the moon to shine forth the light of the sun for our enjoyment and benefit, even in the darkest hours of the night. And this is an earthly picture. And in this earthly picture, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we find a tremendous parallel between us and the moon. Because just like the moon has no ability in itself to produce and shine forth light into the world, so it is with us. When we were of the world, we were without Christ. And therefore, we were in darkness, and we were darkness. And the Apostle Paul describes this when he said that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And the only thing that we produced was more darkness to this darkened and corrupted world. But when God chose to rescue us out of his own sovereign purpose for the praise and glory of his name, he did it by shining forth the brilliant light of his son Jesus Christ upon our hearts. And suddenly, at the very moment, all the darkness was repelled. Our eyes were opened, and we could see ourselves as we truly were, rebellious and defiant sinners, full of guilt and shame. And eventually, like in the blinking of an eye, that thunderous light that revealed our sins also shined even brighter to unveil for us the wonderful and loving cross where Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. And there, by the Spirit of God, we were led to embrace freely by faith the perfect, completed, and finished work of the Lamb of God that appeased and satisfied the wrath of the Father because of our sin. And oh, how grateful we should be to Christ. What a powerful Savior we have in Jesus. A river of joy and gratitude should be storming down our hearts for what we have received in him. Eternal salvation, full reconciliation, irreversible justification, complete redemption. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but by his amazing and abundant grace that he applied in our hearts, now you are light in Jesus Christ. Now we are called to be the light of the world. We are called to be that city upon a hill. We are called to let the light of Christ shine to this darkened world through us in Christ. Now the church, the believers, are strategically established in this world. We have been purposely designed. We were left in this world to function like the moon. We have been established in this spiritual universe to reflect the light of the Son, Jesus Christ. However, we should remember that we didn't have light in ourselves, but since the day God shone his light in us through the gospel, at that very moment we were given an assignment. At that very moment we were given the great privilege and the utmost responsibility to reflect that light of Jesus to the world. You know, God could have taken us to heaven at the very moment we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, but he didn't. Because he had a plan for us. He had a purpose. He left us in here that we will not longer live for ourselves. Because living for ourselves led us to bondage, led us to slavery. We were left here in this dark world so that we will be His instruments. We will be His channels to shine the glory of Jesus to the nations. We've been given the privilege of salvation by grace through Christ, and the reasonable response to this gift of undeserving grace, the logical reaction to what the greatest missionary accomplished for us, who left His Father's glory to come to this sinful world to die for us, that act alone, that act in itself, should humbly cost every Redeemer sinner to say, "My God and my Savior, You deserve nothing less but the total consecration and dedication of my entire life put in Your hands so that You through me will shine forth the glory of Your Son to the world." That's the heart of saving grace. That's the heart of the gospel. That's the heart of this psalm. And this should be the heart of every Christian who has experienced by faith salvation. You and I should consider this short life on earth as nothing else but an opportunity to be an instrument in the hands of God to manifest the glory of Christ to the world. So every passage in the Bible has a purpose why the Holy Spirit inspired it. And it is our duty as we study the scriptures to try to understand that truth, but not also to understand it, but also to apply it to our hearts. And we can summarize this truth of Psalms 96, 1 through 3 this way: because you've been blessed with the glorious gift of salvation by grace in Christ, you must declare the glory of Christ and His wonderful work of grace to the nations. The Hebrews, the Jews, they knew the book of Psalms as the Psalter, the book of praises. And this particular psalm, Psalm 96, is located within a group of psalms from Psalms 93 to Psalms 100 with the intentional purpose of praising Yahweh for His character and His works. And in this psalm, the psalmist is inviting all creation to praise God. He's extending an invitation to all nations to acknowledge God's glory and uniqueness, and to bring offerings to Him and to give testimony to His name. But more than just an invitation to God's people to praise and worship, this psalm is a serious call to God's nation to evangelize the heathen, to evangelize the Gentiles. You have to embrace the truth that worship is missionary in itself. This is basically the message of this psalm. Those who now rejoice and celebrate the grace of God, when we gather together to celebrate God's salvation, we are proclaiming the good news of Christ, and we are inviting the world to praise His name. Now, if you look closely at these first verses of Psalm 96, you will notice that there is a climax in the first unit of thought that escalates to verse 3. The climax seems to be the mandate. It says, "Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples." It is our responsibility as those who have been blessed with the glorious gift of salvation by grace to declare His glory and to proclaim His wonderful work of grace to the nations. We cannot escape this design. We were saved and redeemed for this very purpose, to exalt Him among the nations. It is a privilege to carry the good news to the people, but it's also a tremendous and serious charge of which one day we will all give an account for to whom much is given, much will be required. But how do we go about in fulfilling this wonderful and amazing calling? I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit, who inspired the word, is not only here commanding us to declare Christ's glory to the nations, but He has also given us a strategy on how to go about fulfilling the responsibility to declare Christ's glory. And if you look with me, this psalm teaches us, at least in these first verses, two practical ways in which we must learn to declare the glory of Christ. The first one is that we must worship Christ among the nations. You look at verse 1 and 2, it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name." The psalmist repeats to us three times that the first means whereby we declare Christ's glory to the nations is by worshiping him through singing. And repetition is part of Hebrew poetry, but it's also used to emphasize and to elevate something to a place of importance. And what this tells us is that God is longing for his glory to be declared through worship. And this is interesting because God created us. He designed us for his glory, that we should worship him and find in worship the reason of our existence. This is a song of thanksgiving, which praises God and sings to him, not in anticipation for an expected future deliverance, but it's a response to something already experienced. And in here we find a noteworthy distinction. On one hand, we have some psalms which are hymns praising God for his actions, exalting him for who he is, describing his character and his general works. But the song of thanksgiving praises God for a specific deed he, by his grace, accomplished in behalf of his people. And what has God done for us that we should live a song of thanksgiving and praise every time we gather to worship? Oh, brothers and sisters, God has redeemed us from slavery. He has saved us from the hand of our enemy. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are now God's people. We are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We who once were not a people, but we are now the people of God. We who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And this is exactly the worship that happened after the people of Israel were delivered from Egypt, when God, through his power and grace, took them out of bondage. And after the Lord, with his mighty hand, opened the Red Sea so that his people will experience his great salvation. And they knew that it was because of the blood of the Lamb that was applied over the doorpost. What did the people do right afterwards? If you look at Exodus 15, 1 and 2, you'll see. The Bible says that then Moses and the children of Israel, they sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." Did you notice? We are called to declare the glory of Christ through worship. The world needs to see the glory, the power, the grace of a God who loves to save sinners through a people who are profoundly grateful for the salvation that they have received. The gathering of the saints to worship is a missionary testimony of the glory of God being manifested through the gospel. How is Christ exalted among the nations when sinners who are redeemed and saved through the gospel, they gather to worship? Christ is exalted. Brothers and sisters, right now, at this very moment, as we are gathered to worship, Christ is being lifted up and his glory is being declared in the world. There is a missionary activity happening right now here in Milwaukee. As you come together, you're sending a message to the world that you were made for this, that you were designed for this, that you were created for this purpose. You were made to worship. And while the world is worshiping their empty and false gods, you are here declaring the glorious truth that you were made to worship the one and true living God who has revealed himself through the Bible and who has saved you through his sacrifice at the cross. But notice something, that it doesn't say sing about him to the nations. It says very clearly, sing to the Lord. Sin to the Lord. Sin to the Lord. And this must become a guide as we come together to worship, so that singing, the singing that declares the glory of Christ, is not singing done to entertain people. It's singing done directed to the Lord. We're not focused on men. We are focused on the one who saved us. And we are declaring him to the world. So when the people become our audience and we focus our attention in them, we are giving men the glory. We start to exalt men to the position that belongs only to God, and worship becomes then man-centered. But as we gather together, we need to make a commitment that we will always be a church when the doors are open, so that we will declare the glory of Jesus to the world. Every time you come together, you're telling the world that they were made for this and that they should be here with you through Jesus Christ. But there's also a second way in which we declare the glory of Christ, not only by worship, but also by proclaiming Christ's salvation to the nations. Look at verse 3. He says, proclaim his salvation day after day. This psalm's main mandate is to declare the glory of God to the nations. Now, we know that he's calling us to sing, and through worship we declare his glory. But also, there's something happening as we gather together, as we are functioning as a church. What was in the mind of the ordinary Jew when he was demanded this responsibility to proclaim Christ's salvation day by day? Well, the Old Testament believers knew that the nation of Israel was chosen to be a light to the nations. They were their center, to be a light to the nations around them, so that they will be a testimony of God's grace. And through the centrality of the temple, of temple worship, they were called to illustrate the gospel. The sinner, because of his sin, came bringing to the priest a lamb that was supposed to be sacrificed as the only means of forgiveness and reconciliation with God. The sinner, separated from God and condemned by him because of his sin, is now, by faith in the lamb, receiving reconciling grace, so that through the successful substitutionary death of the lamb, the sinner was reconciled with God. So that was a testimony of the proclamation of the grace of God in the Old Testament. Every Jew knew that this was happening every day, day after day at the temple. The perfect lamb paying the penalty for our sins was the glory of the Old Testament saint. And even though the average Jew did not fully understand all the sacrifice, all the implications of this, the glory of the temple, the glory of the act of worship, was when the blood of the sacrificed lamb was poured out on the mercy seat over the Ark of the Covenant, and thus God announcing to Israel and to every nation that came in contact with them that sinners are justified, that sinners are forgiven through the Lamb. Like the hymn says, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. The Lamb was all the glory then. The Lamb is all the glory now. And the Lamb will receive all the glory forever and ever. They proclaimed the Lamb through prophetic shadow in temple worship. And now we proclaim the fulfilled essence of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Christ is the ultimate manifestation of God's glorious revelation. So we are called to declare his glory. And that calling is nothing more but a command for us to declare to the world that it is only in the person of Jesus Christ that we can be saved. Only by his finished work we can be justified and reconciled. So just like the temple proclaimed day after day, we are called to proclaim day after day what Christ came to do. We need to proclaim what sin is. We need to proclaim the consequences of sin. We need to proclaim the substitutionary provision of God through the Lamb. We need to proclaim that it's only by the death of the Lamb. It is only through the blood that the Father accepts by this sacrifice. And that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:18, that all of this is from God. He designed it this way. He thought of this to be worked out in this manner. He who through Christ reconciled us to himself, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that it is through Christ that God is reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against us. But he has entrusted us the great privilege, but also the great responsibility to deliver the message of reconciliation. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are ambassadors for Christ. And we need to understand this. God is making an appeal to the lost and dying world through us. He designed it this way. There is no other way. Just like the moon was designed to reflect the glory and light of the sun, so we were designed. He could have done this through angels, but he didn't design it this way. He could have made the rocks and the stones to speak the wonders of the cross, but they will not understand it. He decided and he intended that redeemed sinners who are full of gratitude to what Christ has done for them, that we will be the instruments to go to the world and implore to them in behalf of Christ to be reconciled with God. That was the last command of Jesus to his disciples before he ascended. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And how are we going to fulfill this responsibility of declaring the glory of Christ to the nations? He promised that he will enable us through the power of the Spirit. That is awesome. He promised he will use weak, incapable, imperfect vehicles like you and me. We should not expect to be perfect, because we're not. He wants to use the weak and show his power and his strength. And he promised that he will empower us. So we should not hide from this responsibility. Through the power of the Spirit, we cannot ignore our calling, our design. We should be the ones going forward and proclaiming and declaring the glory of Christ. So if we ought to show the love and gratitude to our Savior that he deserves, we need to abandon our excuses. We need to stand up for our Savior. We need to assume their responsibility. And we can do that by supporting missionaries. We can do that by ourselves going on mission teams. We can do that by joining the efforts of the local church to proclaim Christ in our own local area. There are many ways in which we can get involved to proclaim the gospel. And I don't know about you, but again, the heart of Paul has become my heart, for the love of Christ compels me. Because we conclude this, that if one died for all, therefore we all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might not live any longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. I don't know about you, but it is my desire with all my heart, in spite of my weaknesses, to fight against me every day, in spite of my flesh, In spite of all my weaknesses, in spite of this world that tempts me every day, I long and I desire, and I wish God's Spirit would cause you to long and desire to live for the one who died and rose for you, that you may not longer live the remaining days of your life pursuing the vain and empty goals of this world system, but that you would choose to live for Christ's glory, for the gospel, for his kingdom, and by God's grace, and by the power of his Spirit within you. You can make that choice today. Declare the glory of God, the glory of Christ to the nations by worshiping him, but by also by proclaiming his salvation day by day. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to meditate on Christ this week. It is all for him. We're not doing this for anyone else. We want him to be exalted. We want him to be declared through our lives because we feel so much gratitude in our hearts that we cannot do anything else. And Lord, here is your church here. We present every member, every visitor before you. You've called them to be the light of this world. I pray that you will use them and that even at this moment, they will choose to be the instruments so that the light of Christ will be known to the world. Give them that burden. Give them the vision. Give them the power. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.